Well, I have a word for you today. The word is independence. Independence. We like independence, right? It's America, it's 4th of July. I thought, what greater thing is there to talk about than independence? We love independence. And I don't know about you, but I can think back to a time in my life when I was needing and desiring and looking forward to a little extra independence. I was about 15 and I was ready for my driver's license, right? Come on, getting a driver's license is some independence, right? Right? Because then you can ask mom for the keys to the minivan and go pick up the dry cleaning. But it's independent, right? I'm doing it. Independence is great. And I can think back, as I look back in my life, another point of independence for me was when I turned 18 and I graduated from high school and I moved into the dorms at college. And I went to a school there in Tulsa at a university called Oral Roberts University, and it was great. I lived in the dorms, and, you know, that's independence right there, like, is now I'm on my own. I'm calling the shots. I get to decide when to go to bed, praise the Lord. Come on. Right? I get to decide. Independence is great. And I thought that I was the coolest, most responsible adult there was. And at 18, I was definitely not. I needed some help. And I learned the hard way. Because independence is great for a group. Independence is great for a country even. But for us as individuals, like, independence isn't always the best. And for me, and my independence, I started making choices, because that's what we do. When we first get a taste of independence, we begin making some choices and decisions. And I made some choices, unfortunately, that weren't the best. I decided that I was going to start hanging out with some other people that weren't maybe the best. And I thought that I would be okay because I was strongly grounded in the faith. And it wasn't very long before I wasn't going to church on a regular basis. Because it's true when the scripture says bad company corrupts good morals, like, every time. And so I started hanging out with some wrong people. I started not studying like I knew how to, and started not going to class like I should. I know it's not good. But I found myself in a crisis of independence, and I get to the end of my freshman year, and unfortunately, I lost a large portion of my academic scholarship. And when you go to a private university, that is a serious crisis. So I made it through the next 3 years. I graduated, and I'm just telling you, I worked hard. I mean, I just worked a lot, and I survived on a steady diet of ramen noodles. Anybody else on the ramen noodles? Come on. I don't even know how many packets I ate, but I probably should have bought stock in ramen noodles, and I ate a lot, and I survived. But independence is not always the best for us individually. It's great for a group of people, but it's not always the best for us as individuals. And so I want to read the scripture to you today as a basis for this idea of independence, because it's not always for us about independence. So here's the scripture. It comes from Colossians chapter 1, verse 13 and 14, and it says, "For he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his dear Son, who purchased our freedom and forgave our sins." See, Jesus didn't die for our independence. Jesus died for our freedom. There's a difference when we talk about independence and freedom, because our culture tries to tell us to be one way. They try to tell us, like, you can make it on your own. You just need to get out there on your own 2 feet and you can make it. You're all you need. You can handle anything life throws your way, right? Our culture is constantly telling us to be independent. We hear it in music all the time. We see it in movies and in the news, all these different things. Our culture is constantly bombarding us with this idea of we can be by ourselves and be okay, that we're all we need, that we're going to make it on our own. And I'm just here to tell you, that's not God's plan for our lives. God's plan is not for us to isolate ourselves and try to make ourselves seem so good and so right, like we know all the answers to everything. That's not what Jesus suffered and died for. Jesus died to give us freedom. And scripture says that the freedom that Jesus came to give us is freedom on the inside. Freedom from sin. Freedom from our past. Freedom from shame and guilt. Like, freedom from fear and torment. Like, that's true freedom. Like, that's what God desires for each and every one of us. But our culture is constantly telling us, and friends and people all around us telling us, that we should be independent as individuals. And so I just want to highlight this morning a couple myths of independence. Because it's so easy just to buy into this. I know in my own life, I bought into it. I've chased after it. I've sought it because I thought that was what I should be attaining. But man, that's not what God had for me. And that's not what God has for each and every one of us. It's not to be off by ourselves, doing our own thing, trying to figure out our own way. That's not God's plan for us. So I want to highlight this morning a couple myths. If you're taking notes, you've got your worship guide on the back. There's some spots for notes. You can write these down. A couple myths of independence. Number one myth about independence is, I can't help myself. I can't help myself. This is just the way I am. This is how I am. So this is how I feel today. So this is how I'm going to be. And I can't help myself. And you're just going to have to deal with it. Right? But that attitude is one of the most destructive attitudes we can have, because it's all about self. It's all about me. Whatever makes me happy, I'm going to do it. I can't help myself anyway. It's just how I am. But see, that's just a trap and a lie of our spiritual enemy, the devil. Do you know the devil doesn't want you to succeed? He doesn't want to see you achieve everything that God has for you. In fact, the Bible says that the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But God came to give us life. Galatians chapter 5, it says, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. It's not for independence. It's not so that we can call the shots. It's for freedom. It's for that inner freedom so that we can do all that God has called us to do. In James chapter 1, verse 14, it says this. It says, temptation comes from our own desires, which entice us and drag us away. And these desires give birth to sinful actions. And when sin is allowed to grow, it gives birth to death. Like, when we're dragged away by our own, when we want to do our own thing. But that's not the way, that's not what God has for us. It's not about how we feel. Feelings come and go. Feelings change. We're not people who are moved by our feelings. We're people who are moved by faith. So it's not about how I feel. It's about what God is asking us to do. The second myth of independence is this, is I must protect myself. And this is so common, because so many times in life, people come our way and come into our lives and hurt us or do us wrong or betray us. Things happen in life. And I'm by no means suggesting that we should allow people like that to continue to be in our lives. Like, people, we need to cut those relationships off. We shouldn't allow ourselves to stay in a destructive or a hurtful relationship. But there's a difference. We have to be careful that when that happens, that we don't begin to draw away. Because when we begin to draw away, it's like building up walls. I've got to protect myself so I never get hurt. So I'm not going to let anybody else in. See, God has a different plan for us. God has people that he's bringing into our life that he wants to give influence in our lives. Scripture says that iron sharpens iron, so one man or one woman sharpens the other. See, we need each other to build each other up when we're going through something difficult, to encourage each other, to build each other up in our faith. Like, we can't make it on our own. And when we wall ourselves off and we back ourselves off and try to isolate ourselves because we need to make sure that we don't get hurt again, like, what happens is those walls are built up and nothing can get in or out of those walls. And so many times, unforgiveness stays within that walls and it begins to grow and build and fester. And as unforgiveness stays in there, like, it turns into anger and hatred and bitterness, and it begins to destroy us from the inside. And that's the devil's plan for us, is he doesn't want you to forgive. He wants you to be isolated. Peter said that the devil is like a roaring lion, roaming around looking for people he can devour. He's looking for people who've isolated themselves and separated themselves, because one person is easy to take out. But people who are standing arm to arm, it's a lot harder to take those people out. We need each other. We need to build each other up. We can't do life on our own. That's not God's plan. And here in Mark chapter 11, Jesus highlighted this idea on forgiveness that's so important for us to realize, is that he says, if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you. Man, we need forgiveness if we want to one day be in heaven with the Lord. So it's important for us not to buy into this idea that we need to protect ourselves to keep ourselves from getting hurt. And when other people do hurt us, man, we need to be quick to forgive. And again, don't misunderstand me. That doesn't mean we allow people to stay in our lives who continually hurt us or betray us. There are times where relationships need to end. But God has people that he's going to bring into our lives. And because something happened in our past or somebody did something to us, that's not an excuse for us to back away from the people that God wants to bring in our lives. Second myth of isolation, of independence. The third myth of independence is this, is I can take care of myself. I got this. I don't need nobody. I can handle this. I can take care of it. This is really just an attitude of the heart. It's really just pride, right? And you just need to take care of that. It's pride. Like, we're not meant to handle things on our own. So those myths of independence, if we're not careful, can just easily creep in and cause us to be drawn away. And so today, I want to talk about how do we move out of this idea of living in dependence on ourselves to living in dependence on God. How do we live in dependence on God? Not how do we live independently on our own, trying to make our own way. And so I want to look at the life of Paul, because Paul was this amazing guy in the Bible. He wrote so much of our New Testament, but his story is crazy. Like, he grew up in the most religious area, and he was at the top of the spiritual game of his day. Like, he would have been like the most well-known, like, evangelist. Like, he was like the top dog in the spiritual arena where he was in. But he wrote about this and on all that he had accomplished. This comes from Philippians chapter 3, verses 5 through 6. It says, I was circumcised when I was 8 days old, and I'm a pure-blooded citizen of Israel and a member of the tribe of Benjamin, a real Hebrew if there ever was one. I was a member of the Pharisees who demanded the strictest obedience to the Jewish law. I was so zealous that I harshly persecuted the church. And as for righteousness, I obeyed the law without fault. Sounds pretty good. Like, if that's my resume, like, that's reading pretty nice, right? But see, this is Paul living independently. This is Paul relying on himself. Now, you notice everything is about I did this. I am this. Look how great I am. But Paul continues. It's powerful. He says in verse 7, I once thought these things were valuable, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage, so that I could gain Christ and become one with him. I no longer count on my own righteousness through obeying the law. Rather, I become righteous through faith in Christ. For God's way of making us right with himself depends on faith. See, Paul, he's showing us here how we shift out of this idea of depending on ourselves and trying to make things right our own way, which we can never accomplish, to shifting our dependence on faith in Christ and everything that he has done. So if Paul can do it, we can do it. Isn't that right? Come on, you can come on with me. That's all right. So today we're going to talk about three things that are going to help us in this shift, shifting out of depending on ourselves, doing things our own way, to putting our dependence and our hope and our faith in God, how we live in dependence on God. And I want to just clarify again what freedom means, because freedom doesn't mean we get to do whatever we want. Right? There's so much being said and taught these days about what freedom is. Well, that means I can do anything because I'm free in Christ. That's not what freedom in Christ means. Freedom in Christ is internal, right? It's freedom from fear. So when fear comes and tries to grip you, like, you're free from that. You don't have to deal with that, and you can put the devil in his place and get that out of your life. It's freedom from your past. When the devil tries to come and remind you, remember all those things you used to do and how bad. Like, no, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. It's free from all that to do what God has called us to do. It's freedom to go out and to bring somebody else to that point where they can know God too. That's freedom. It's not just to do whatever we want, because that's shifting back into that, what do I want? Independent thinking. God wants us to be dependent on him. So if you're taking notes, let's write this down. Number one, how do we depend on God? Is we live in dependence on prayer. We live in dependence on prayer. And if you look in the book of Acts in chapter 4 and verse 31, we see the early church. And there's three verses here that kind of highlight what they did to put their dependence on God. In verse 31, it says, when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled was shaken. And they were filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. And they began to speak God's message with boldness. Man, this is where it all starts. This is where it all begins. It's prayer. Prayer is the foundation. It's the baseline. It's the foundation of our dependence on God begins with prayer. We need prayer. And see, prayer is just this conversation that we have with God. It's not this over-spiritualized thing where we come and we do all this stuff. Like, those things are fine, but that doesn't encapsulate what prayer is. Prayer is a communication with God. In fact, just a few minutes ago during praise and worship, we were praying. Do you know that praise and worship, when we're singing, oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Like, we're communicating with God. That's a form of prayer. Prayer sometimes looks like crying to God. I don't know if you've ever been there. I've been there in my life where I've just been crying and asking God, God, why is this happening? God, help me in this. I don't know what to do. Like, this is prayer. Prayer is sometimes laughing with God, right? Because sometimes you just got to laugh at things in life. Prayer is sometimes being quiet. Because in a conversation, if I'm doing all the talking, I'll never be able to hear what the other person is trying to tell me. So sometimes prayer is just quieting myself and before the Lord and just allowing him to speak to me. Prayer, it's a conversation. And prayer is not restricted to a time and a place. It's not restricted to just here at 10:15 on Sunday mornings. Prayer is all the time. Like, Jesus is with us all the time anyways. We might as well be talking to him. We might as well be asking his opinion and just instead of just trying to figure out our own opinion. But I do believe that while prayer is not restricted to a time and a place, that each of us should have the spiritual discipline in our lives of having a specific time and a place we go every day to pray. Like, we need that. Jesus said in John chapter 15, if you remain in me and I remain in you, then you are my family. But without me, you can do nothing. Like, we can't do anything without Jesus. And we need to communicate with him. And that's what prayer does. So we should all have that time every day. Jesus got up. Scripture tells us so many times. Jesus got up before it was light and he went alone to pray. Man, if Jesus needed to get alone and pray, I know I do. We need prayer. Prayer is the foundation of our dependence and our trust in God. Number two, if you're writing this down, how we shift out of this idea of depending on ourselves to depending on God. Number two is living in dependence on people. It says here in verse 32, the next verse down, it says, now the large group of people of those who believed were of one heart and mind. No one said that any of his possessions were his own. Instead, they held everything in common. See, prayer is the foundation of our dependence on God. But it's through people that God accomplishes his purpose in our lives. That's right. I'm preaching a little better than you're clapping back at me. I'll say that again. Prayer is the foundation of our dependence on God, but it's through people that God accomplishes his purpose in our lives. We need each other. We're not meant to be on our own. We're not meant to be an island unto ourselves. We need each other. You notice how it says they held everything in common, right? Well, we have different spheres or levels of people in our lives. We have those who are closest to us, our closest sphere, those that we give the most access to, that we give the most influence to. Then we have other spheres, those that are work, those that we see at restaurants, different levels of people in our lives. And when I'm talking about people, we're talking about this inner core of people, right? And who do we have in our lives? If you have people and you're constantly realizing like, man, why am I constantly repeating the same thing? And I want to stop doing this. I want to change, but I just can't seem to do it. Man, look at the people around you. We need to hold some things in common with the people in our lives. Some common beliefs. Some common goals. We need to hold some things in common so that we can be of one heart and one mind. Because if you've got people that are your closest and they're influencing you and they're not going after God, they're not building you up in your faith, and they're not calling you forward, it might be time to make some changes. That's not always easy. But sometimes if you want to go to the next level with God, you really want to see God move in your life, you got to cut some things off sometimes. It's what it takes. So we need people in our lives. We need each other. You hear me talk so much about connect groups and next steps, and it's not just because there's something else we need to do or it's church program or whatever. Like, we need connect groups and we need to be together because we need to have each other's back. We need to be there for each other. I need somebody to know my story and to know when I've had a bad day. I need someone to get in my face and encourage me and say, hey, pick your eyes up. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. We need each other. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, we need each other. Look at your other neighbor, your second choice, and say, we're better together. That's right. That's right. At Victory, we walk in unity. We're better together. We believe that. We're better together. And see, God designed our lives to work that way. He designed our lives to work better together. And God's purpose for your life can never happen in isolation. Can never happen in isolation. God's purpose in your life always involves somebody else. Always. Always involves somebody else. Because when it's just us in isolation, it's all inward, me focused. But when we allow God to direct our steps, it's always going to lead us to somebody else because there's always somebody else waiting on the other side of whatever we're trying to get through. We see it all through Scripture. So many times that Jesus modeled this principle where there's somebody on the other side of the lake, somebody on the other side of a crowd that he had to get to bring hope, to bring help. And it's the same for us. That's God's plan for us. Not that we would take everything and keep it to ourselves, but that we would take this hope that we have and take it to somebody else and help them to find freedom in their lives. See, that's God's plan in our lives. That's God's purpose. God's purpose for us is that we would help each other in this life. Now, this illustration hits a little home to me. Some of you know, a couple months ago, I had an accident with my table saw, and I cut my thumb, and it's healing up good. It's doing a lot better, and I'm thankful for all of your prayers and during that time in recovery, and it's doing great now. But as I thought about this whole idea of isolation and how we need each other, it reminded me and just how thankful I was that, you know, my thumb wasn't cut off. Right? Because that happens a lot. I've heard, can't tell you how many stories I heard of people coming up to me after I told them what happened. They're like, oh, I know three guys who cut their thumb clean off. And I'm like, thank you, Jesus. It's a sobering moment when somebody tells you a story like that. But I had this thought of what if my thumb had been cut off? I know that might sound kind of gross, but if my thumb had been cut off and it just sitting here on the podium, it would still be my thumb, right? It's still my thumb. It's sitting there. It's lifeless. It would really never achieve its purpose again. As long as it sits there, it's never going to function to help me pick up stuff. And really the hardest part about that is buttoning, like doing buttons, because it's just when I press on it, like that's hard. So like I could never button shirts again. Like it would never be able to function the way it was intended to function. And it's the same with us. When we get disconnected from the body, we can't function the way that God made us to function. We can't achieve his purpose for our lives when we are disconnected and on our own and separated. Like, it's just really too much for me to be involved and to tell somebody else what's going on. That just makes me vulnerable. And what if somebody hurts me? Like, I can't tell you that no one is ever going to hurt you in your life again. Somebody might betray you, but God hasn't called us to back away and to isolate ourselves. He's called us to surround ourselves with people who are going to be there to encourage each other and lift each other up and to go out and help other people. So how do we shift out of this mentality of being on our own and being independent to being dependent upon God? Number one, we're dependent on prayer. Number two, we depend on each other. And if you're taking notes, number three today is we're living in dependence on the promise. Dependence on the promise. I asked that band, they can come start heading back up. What is the promise? The promise is God's word. The promise is God's word. Here it says in Acts chapter 4, verse 33, it says, and the apostles were giving testimony with great power to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was on all of them. See, the resurrection of Jesus, it's the greatest victory in the history of the world. And when you make that choice and you decide to follow Jesus, Scripture says that our spirits come alive. And God makes us part of his family and we have access to that victory. That's a promise of God. So what does it mean to depend on the promises? When we depend on the promises of God, like that means like that we remember them, that we read them from the scriptures. And when we have to, we look ourselves in the mirror and we tell ourselves, self, you're not afraid. God didn't give you a spirit of fear. He's given you a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. That's holding on to the promises. That means that sometimes when you're driving down the road, you got to remind yourself in traffic, like, I have the fruit of the spirit in my life. I have peace and self-control. Depending on the promises, we've got to sometimes say it to yourself and remind yourself that's what it means to depend on the promises, because we are going to face things in life that you're going to need help. You're going to need God's promises. And I can tell you with absolute certainty that no matter what you're facing in life, there's a promise for you in the pages of the Bible. There's a scripture in there that you can hold on to, that you can stand on, that you can believe on, that you can hold tightly to when you have to cry yourself asleep at night and you've got to say that scripture 50 times to convince yourself. Whatever it takes, you've got to hold on to the promises of God. Because we're in a spiritual battle, y'all. Our spiritual enemy is the devil, and he's trying to take us out. That's right, he's a liar. So when he comes at you and he tells you that you're not going to make it, that you don't have what it takes, no. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in this world. That's right. That's why it's so important that we depend on the promises, because we're in this spiritual battle. And we need God's promises. We need his help. Here in Galatians chapter 3, I want to read this scripture for you. It's defining this process for us of how we depend on the promises and the relevancy of depending on promises. Because so many times people can be like, Pastor, that's nice and scriptures are good, but how's a scripture really going to help me? Here's what Paul wrote. He said, before this faith came, we were confined or imprisoned under the law. The law then was our guardian. It was our captor until Christ, so that we could be justified by faith. Since that faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian. For you are all sons and daughters of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ and have put on Christ like a garment, there's no Jew or Greek, no slave or free, no male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs to the promises. That means that everything that's in the book is written about you and for you. That you can believe that everything that's written in the Bible is going to work in your life. Because you are heir. You are a son and a daughter of the Most High God. And there's no power in hell. There's no power on this earth that can defeat the power of Jesus. But you need to understand one thing that's going to happen. Some of you, it'll happen as soon as you step out of the door. Some of you, it's happening to you right now. So you have to understand that as soon as you take that step of faith, as soon as that first time you confess that scripture and remind yourself, the enemy's going to come whisper in your ear, that's not going to work. That's not for you. Remember all those bad things you did? God didn't really mean that about you. What you have to recognize is that he's a liar. And that you are free from that. That's what freedom is. You are free from the influence of the enemy trying to control your thoughts, trying to pull you away and distract you. You are free. You have the power of God in your life. You don't have to listen to what the enemy says, and you can put him in his place. Because greater is he that's in you than he that's in this world. And we overcome the enemy by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. So if you've been through something before, don't hide it. Like, that's your testimony. God brought you through that. And I guarantee you that God's going to bring somebody else across your path that needs to hear your testimony to overcome. They need you. They need you. So this morning, church, I want to pray for you. Because I know that we all face things in life. There's all kinds of difficult situations that we go through. But I want to give you hope. I want to build your faith to know that God is with you, that he's given you his power. You are an heir. You are a son and a daughter of God, and everything that he has, you have access to. So if you're feeling weak, you're feeling overwhelmed, wherever you are, you can begin to pray. And as you begin to pray, you'll feel God's presence, because God's prayer is the foundation. And as we pray, God's presence is ushered in. And when his presence is ushered in, you'll begin to have access to that power that you don't normally have access to. In the natural, we don't have access to God's power. But when we begin to pray, when we begin to stir up our spirit, when we begin to hold on to the promises, like we begin to have access to this power, the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives that we don't have access to naturally. So I just want to take a minute, church, and I just want to pray for you.